Thanks very much, Liz, for the way you've led us so helpfully. Tim brought our reading a while ago beautifully, but you may have forgotten it. So if you want to turn to it, it's Romans 15, verses 4 to 13. Now, I realise that I might be doing a spoiler alert here because you're studying Romans in your house groups. So this morning we're going to look at some verses at the end. So it is a bit of a spoiler alert because it does reveal Paul's reason for writing. But let me encourage you to keep going to house group. It's worth it. Keep going through to the ending. And this passage at the end of Romans is all about hope. Paul's expressed desire that all will experience hope and will know and be filled with the God of hope. So taking Nathaniel's suggestion from Tuesday, we're going to look at a glossary of terms, a list of words to help us explore how we may know and experience hope and this God of hope. And that first term is faithfulness. Other translations of the Bible use endurance and steadfastness, all of which point to the quality of staying with, keeping going, being trustworthy, being true to your word, being stable in character. Faithfulness is something that can only be revealed over a period of time. You can't tell if someone is trustworthy or faithful or truthful after only 5 minutes. We can wish for it, we can hope for it, but this quality in this trait can only be made real, to shown to be real, when it's shown day in, day out, year in, year out. You may hope for faithfulness in your spouse on your wedding day, but you'll know for sure one way or another on your 30th anniversary. And if faithfulness is shown, steadfastness is proven, trust is established. You know that you can rely on this person because they've said they're going to do it and they've done it. You can hope in them. And throughout the pages, the books, the history, the interactions with many different characters in the Old Testament, God has consistently shown his faithfulness, his endurance, his steadfastness. He has kept his promises. He has shown his love and his mercy, even when, and as often was the case, it wasn't returned. And the Apostle Paul says, all of these things were written to teach us that through the faithfulness, the endurance taught in the scriptures, and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. God has shown throughout hundreds of years he is faithful. He's true to his word. He stays on in there. He's trustworthy. Therefore, we can hope in him. Paul then prays for the Christians in Rome. He prays for us. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude. The same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that you be of one mind and one voice, and you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He asked the God of the Old Testament, the God with that brilliant track record, to give us faithfulness, endurance, and encouragement. Give us the same attitude of mind towards each other Christ had for us. I don't know if you like you, but that rings bells of what we looked at in Philippians. And he does that so that in unity, in harmony, we may give glory to God. God is praying that as the church, we will be just like God as seen in the Old Testament, faithful, sticking with, merciful, and just like Jesus was in his relationships with people. Paul is wanting us to imitate, to be like, just like God in character and mind, as shown throughout history, as shown in Jesus. So how we live and how we speak and how we act reflects on him and reflects well on him. It brings him glory. So when you get up tomorrow morning, remember that. Wow. we are to reflect that wonderful God. So the way in which you prepare breakfast for your family, the tone of voice in which you speak to your colleagues, the attitude in which you approach the person at the till, the physical care that you give to your elderly relative, the way in which you think about undocumented immigrants, can and should all be God-like, all be Christ-like, and not just today, this week, but loving and kind, God-like, Christ-like, day in, day out, year in, year out, so we too will be known as faithful, steadfast, people who endure, and if this is seen, God will be praised and given glory, because there's no way we can do that on our own. We're just not that nice. Let's be real. We can't be steadfast and kind and loving to all those people without God's help. We can only demonstrate consistent faithfulness, love and mercy if we have known the faithfulness and mercy and love of God and have the power and enabling of His Spirit so that we can live and think and act in a God-like, Christ-like way. Paul sums it up by saying, accept one another then, just as Christ has accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. And I think this is the crux of it. If we truly know we are completely and utterly accepted by God, we will in turn be able to accept others. As we've already seen, God has showed His faithfulness throughout the Old Testament, that He accepted the people of Israel. He loved them, He rescued them, He provided for them, He forgave their waywardness, He kept being their God when they worshipped and idolized others. And He went further in Jesus. In order to demonstrate His complete acceptance of humanity, God became one of us. He became a baby, a refugee, a child, an apprentice, a friend, a healer, one who sought out the forgotten, the marginalized, the ones who always got it wrong. He accepted humanity in all its wonder and its woe, its grandeur and its grime, its depth and its depravity. And all the time He continued to show His faithfulness and His love and His mercy. That is His essence. And it is in and through Jesus that we are able to show God's faithfulness and love and mercy. Now, I'll go back to that. It was in Jesus that God was able to show His faithfulness and love and mercy for all people, just as He had always intended. Through Jesus' life, His choices, His sacrificial death, He made it possible for all people, for all time, to reconnect to God, to know His faithfulness and love and mercy, His full acceptance. Just think for a moment what it feels like to be completely accepted, warts and all. To know it's simply you, without your achievements, without your best face, without your best clothes, without your best behavior, your best thoughts, you. You are loved and adored by God. Stay with that moment. You are loved and adored and fully accepted by God. Sadly, not all of us will have experienced acceptance this way in human relationships. Often, acceptance is with strings attached. We will only know acceptance if we are pretty, good, quiet. Not being fully accepted can leave an ache inside, which may cause us to crave it, to act out, to seek attention. And when we've only known conditional acceptance, it's hard to believe that God loves us completely, fully. That's why the theologian Paul Tillich says, faith is the courage to accept acceptance. So many of us will not accept ourselves. We try to improve, we pull ourselves down, and we're very critical. We have unrealistic expectations of ourselves and of others. We just don't accept ourselves because We don't like who we are. And because we don't accept ourselves, we don't let anybody else accept us either. We push them away. We push God away. But our faithful, loving, merciful Father says, I love you. You are precious in my sight. I accept you. You can simply be you. Our loving, sovereign Saviour says, I loved you enough to leave the glory of heaven, to live, to love, to die, so that you can know God's faithfulness, love, and mercy now and forevermore. I accept you. You can simply be you, and you can grow in my love at your own pace. You'll be encouraged and filled and enabled, not forced. Hear this today from a God with a proven track record who is faithful. You are accepted. We are accepted. It can take time to believe that we're accepted by God as we are. But God is faithful, he is patient, and he will wait for us to turn to him. Turn to him, a term that used to often be described as repentance, but that's literally what it means, turning to him. And that's all it takes. If we turn to him, he will draw us into his love, because in and through Jesus, he has done everything necessary for us to come right into his presence, to be accepted and to be known as his child. This truth, this acceptance is something wonderful and real and something you can put your hope in. That said, hear that. But God's love and faithfulness and acceptance is not simply for us to enjoy, but something to learn from and pass on. Indeed, Paul urges us to accept one another just as Christ has accepted us. So who should we accept? I said earlier that it's always been God's intention from the very beginning for people to know his love and acceptance. He said to Abram, the father of faith, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. The children of Abraham were to be a blessing to the nations, the means by which all people of the earth will be able to praise God for himself. And Paul underlines this by quoting the Old Testament four times from the law and the prophets and the Psalms, ending with, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will rise over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope. And so we have seen that the Gentiles have good reason to hope. In his death and resurrection, Jesus, the root of Jesse, has done everything necessary for all people, for all time, to be accepted. So God accepts all people, and he asks us to do the same in order to bring praise to God. For the early church, it was a big ask. They'd been used to being a pure sect of Jews, God's special chosen people. But now God had made it clear he loved and accepted pagans, Gentiles, and they were to do the same. Paul writes in one of his other letters, so in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself in Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, neither is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you belong to Christ, you're on a level playing field with the chosen people, just as fully accepted and loved as the descendants of Abraham, who had enjoyed centuries of a special relationship. Wonderful, but really hard to swallow if you're one of Abraham's original special ones. But this is the gospel. It's the good news that Jesus came to embody and make possible. Everyone is loved and accepted by God. So all we have to do is turn to him and we'll become his kids. Wonderful. But maybe hard to swallow if you've always come to church or hold a slightly different interpretation of the Bible or have a very defined way of understanding the gospel. Or you understand church differently. It's hard. And it wasn't easy for the early church. It isn't easy for us. I listened with interest to the breadth of opinion and views expressed here on Tuesday evening at our vision evening. We do not all see things the same way, but we are all accepted and loved by God. We are family. And God expects us to put that above our differences. He says, I have accepted and love every single one of you. You are my church, my children. And we are to love and accept one another and learn together what it means to be of one mind and one voice. That might be difficult now. But you just wait till all the people that God loves and accepts in Thornhill and Thornhill Park and Harefield come and join in. That's going to make it even more interesting. For the early church, the challenges were to do with learning of being one mind and voice, of being family, when there were differences in social and cultural expectations regarding race and gender and whether you had economic freedom or not, whether you were seen as property. Those were the issues back then. Today, our challenges may well still include social and cultural expectations. They include the differences I alluded to. But on top of that, we will need to love and accept those who have many different understandings of marriage, of sexuality, of politics, those who have much, those who have little, those who have citizenship and those who are undocumented, those who are wary of organized religion, and those who long for ritual. They do exist, and we are to embrace them. This is not optional. As a church, we need to wholeheartedly embrace this because it is our acceptance and love of one another, our efforts to listen and be of one mind and voice that bring glory to God and pleasure to Christ. Our opinions, our favored interpretations, our understandings and views and tastes are secondary to the fact we are one in Christ. Now, that's daunting, but the good thing is, it's not down to us to make this happen. Phew. Paul prays for the church in Rome and for us. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The God of hope fills us so that we may overflow with hope. We've looked at hope quite a bit this morning. We've looked at the skit. We've looked at what it was in the Old Testament. And hope in Scripture is not like we often understand it. Hope isn't something we cling to at the last resort when our own efforts have failed. A fingers crossed, I've done my bit, and now I just have to hope. It's not that sort of hope. And it isn't a whimsical fancy that bread pudding will appear on Christmas Day. It may not be a whimsical fancy, it might be a sign of faithfulness. But like a lottery, you know, ooh, will something happen? As we've already seen, hope in Scripture is based on the proven track record of a faithful and steadfast God who never gives up, who always endures, who does what he says he'll do, and whose promises can be trusted. Hope is rooted in God, in who he is, and the future that he guarantees, which we can have confidence in, that he holds secure. Hope is not a vague longing, but rooted and established in the eternal and faithful one. With that in mind, we can have confidence that what we've been asked to do as a church is achievable. It can be done. Because we have the teaching, encouragement, and example of the Scriptures which demonstrate God's faithfulness, his mercy and love, his full acceptance. We have the teaching, encouragement, and example of the love and life and ministry and fully accepting life-giving sacrificial death. The restoring work and the resurrection of Jesus to learn from and to hope in. But most of all, we actually have the power of God himself. His Holy Spirit at our disposal to enable us to imitate Christ, to love one another and live with all joy and peace. All we need to do is trust in his track record, accept his acceptance, and he will fill us to overflowing with his gift of hope. Brothers and sisters, Church of Christ in Thornhill and Harefield, we've been accepted by the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God who's shown his faithfulness throughout history. He will enable us, he will fill us, he will equip us to love and accept one another. And as we see this hope become more and more of a reality, he will be glorified. He'll be given the praise that he is due. This is our Advent joy. This is our Advent hope. I want us to stay with this for a while, to ask ourselves some questions. We will then sing In Christ Alone, but afterwards, if people want to come for prayer, I'll be over here with one of the leadership team. Because what God is saying to us is life-changing for us as individuals, but also for us as a church. So I just want to ask you in the quietness, do I believe I am acceptable? Do I accept myself and allow others to accept me? Do I wish to accept the faithful, unlimited love and mercy of God, written about in the Old Testament and most clearly seen and made available in Jesus? If you do, all you need to do is turn to him. Know his acceptance, and he will fill you with his hope, with his spirit. If you want to pray that through with me later, that would be my joy. But that's not necessary. God can do that with you now. We want to ask ourselves, do I rate my views and my opinions more highly than my brothers and sisters in Christ? If you do, you need to come to God and ask for his forgiveness, because he has accepted every single one of us and loved us and died for us, and we are to do the same. Do I need to turn to God for forgiveness for my attitude and thoughts and actions that have brought division rather than unity? The blessing, the love and acceptance of God was always intended to be passed on to others. Ask God to reveal to you how you may grow, firstly in receiving and knowing this for yourself, but then passing it on. As an individual in your work, in your family, in your home, but also to us as a church, how may we bless our neighborhood? How may we bless one another? And I would ask all of us, do you want to be filled with hope by putting trust in God, Father, Son, and empowering Spirit? Some of you may have prayed to be accepted by God for the first time. Others may have done it for the nth time, but know God hears. He knows and loves you. And if you would want to show that acceptance of God by baptism, please again talk to us, because we are hoping to have a baptism service at Easter. Holy One, suffering Saviour, empowering Spirit, we thank you that we can trust you. You have shown your faithfulness. Help us to put our hope in you. Thank you for your acceptance. And we ask for your empowering to be able to accept one another. For your praise and glory, we ask this.